I'm so appreciative of the good workshops today. It was good this morning, the prayer time, the teaching. It's good to see old friends, new faces, old faces, and I'm just delighted. I am very, very happy. Amen? I think God is very, very happy. Praise the Lord. Last night, I talked to you about standing in the gap. Not standing in the gap, but don't give the enemy a gap. And it's very much common sense of we gave cards out. I don't know if we have any left if you didn't get one. If you didn't get one, you know, you weren't here last night, I want you to raise your hand, because if Sarah knows where they're at, she'll... Do you know where some are? If you raise your hand right now, if you didn't get a no gap card, she's going to bring you one. Amen? And it's really important for you to understand. If you go to, I think it's Galatians, I want to say Galatians 5:1. And I didn't share this last night, and that's why I wanted to go there before we went on. You know how you kind of review where you went? That's what I was doing. I was like, okay, wait a minute. So Galatians 5:1, and I think I usually use my other Bible, but I'm going to go for this one. Of course, I have it covered up. But I don't want to read it in the message. It's like, what? Don't tear, please. You know, my little cheat sheets. You know, one time I remember, you know, people use these to remind. And I remember I went somewhere, and this guy was so messed up. I went into his office, and he had those little sticky pads to remind him, plus sticky pads on the wall, sticky pads everywhere, because he just couldn't remember anything. And I thought, I'd never want to be like that. I'm starting to be like that. What does it say? There's a pin down there. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in his love in Christ. Also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Now, that's awesome. If you want to have a good relationship with God, you keep yourself fresh and clean. You stay connected with our Father. Stand firm in him. Amen? Don't give the enemy a gap. I shared a visual of how that works. If you're not embracing God 24/7, if you're not dependent on him 24/7, you're going to give the enemy a gap. And if you give just a little spot, he'll wheeze in there and he'll start telling you lies. And if you're embracing your disappointment, it's going to fit in with the lies he's saying. And the next thing you know, you're just moving away from God so quickly, and here's the enemy trying to slither in there with his minions and just really mess your head up. You know what I mean? Your friends come and they go, you haven't been to church for a couple weeks. What's going on? You know, I've done that. You know, here, look what I've gone through. Where was God in that?
Ephesians.
It's Ephesians 5. You're right. Thank you. Did you have that in your notes?
No, I looked it up.
Oh, thank you.
It wasn't Galatians 5.
You're right. I'm in. Actually, I am in Ephesians 5. That's what I read. Okay. It's been a long day. Give me grace. Amen. It's like, whoa. Where's my stand firm? It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, amen, the liberty by which Christ has made for us free, and do not be entangled against the yoke of bondage. This whole theme for 2018 is a redemptive bondage, this whole year, redemptive bondage. So where does that, those numbers come up? 20 is the number for redemption in God's numbers, and he does have numbers. He speaks to us in letters. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, but he also speaks to us in numbers. And when you start looking at the numbers in the Bible and lining them up, God's got messages for you. How many of you have got the 222 phone call in the middle of the night over and over and over again? Look up what 222 is. Amen? Just look, go through the whole Bible. I mean, he wants to get you in the Word. He wants to teach you. And there'll be little pockets here and there, and you'll take the numbers and start pulling them together. In fact, I got a word today or a vision that a young lady shared, and not only the vision, but then she started putting the numbers together. And it was taking her down the trail where she needed to go. She wanted to understand why she had that vision. Amen? Look at the numbers. Don't stop at just the words. God said, look at the numbers. Look at, I talk to you in numbers too. God created numbers. And when you look at the Greek and the Hebrew, when you see the Greek alphabet or the Hebrew alphabet, right next to the alphabet is a number. I mean, it's just bizarre when he started showing me that and started calling me to do things for him out of numbers. Out of numbers. Let me give you an example. I was going to KCC, and it was one of my trips. Maybe it was my first trip to Israel. And there were a lot of neat prophetic people there. And I had been down to Nicaragua. I was getting ready to go to Canada. And Henry and I was out at the church, and somebody said, told Lily Riggins or whatever her name is to come and pray for me, and because I was getting ready to go to Canada. And oh my gosh, all of a sudden this other lady comes tearing in down the hall in the church, runs up to me and hands me this rose, beautiful, beautiful red rose. Amen. And she had, I'm trying to remember what she had with it. I think she had some stalks, maybe three stalks or something like that around this rose. And the rose had thorns on it. And she gave it to me. She had it wrapped up. She said, I had to look all over. God told me to give this to you. And I'm like looking at it. Okay, thank you. I mean, this is in the middle of the winter. I'm wondering what that. Whoops. Anyway, that's what I was thinking. What's the rose? And so I get home, and I say, Henry, I said, what do you think about this rose? He goes, I don't know, but God wants to talk to you. You'll figure it out. He goes to bed, and I'm just standing there at the bar looking at that rose. So I thought, well, I'll cut it, and I'll put it in some water. I started to do that, and the Lord said, don't do that. He said, I want you to count the petals on the rose, which meant I would have to tear it apart. I said, count the petals on the rose. He said, count the petals on the rose. So I counted them. I had the number. I ran upstairs. I said, Henry, the Lord asked me to count them. And he says, well, didn't I get you that numerological, what is that called? Is Henry in here right now? Anyway, it's a book on numbers. And he did order it for me, but I didn't look at it. I wasn't into numbers. I didn't understand why he did that. And then what he did is what he just went and found it and brought it to me. And then, so I had the number of the petals. He says, now what I want you to do is I want you to count the thorns. Counted the thorns. There were seven of them. Then he said, I want you to pull out the, let me remember how this went, because there were seeds. What were the seeds? Do you remember, Debbie? Pardon? Wheat. Oh, there were stalks of wheat. That the three vines that were in it, or whatever you want to call it, was wheat. And he said, I want you to crush it, and I want you to count every seed, and don't miss one. And there were 153. And I'll tell you, it just got better and better, and I saw this mapping. And when I was all done, he says, now I want you to take the stalk that the rose was on, and he said, I want you to break it up, cut it up. I want you to put the seed there. I want you to put the rose petals. Now I want you to take, what is in the middle of the rose that you pull out? What is that called? I used to know it. What is it, Debbie, the middle of it? It's where the seeds that, whatever it's called. It's in the middle of the rose, but that's I'll tell you, he said, pull it out. Just pull it out. And I said, well, what do you want me to do with it now? Now listen, this is the Lord directing me. I'm not imagining this. He said, put it on the cookie sheet and go put it somewhere and let it all dry out. See, I'm getting ready to go on a trip to Hong Kong my first time. And I didn't have a clue what he was asking me to do because I was going to Canada first. And I remember I put that up there, and about a month later, and I'm going the next month, he says, bring it down. And he said, what I want you to do is take it, take a roller and just roll it. Just roll it and just crush it all together. And then put it in a baggie. What is he asking me to do? I mean, this is one of many crazies he's asked me to do. And so when I tell you this, you're going to have to decide, do you think that really happened? Do you think she was telling the truth? I mean, I've got witnesses here that know, that know about this, and I think Dawn Millett was with me. Some of you know Dawn Millett. She was with me on this trip, blew her away. Well, anyway, so we go. Oh, Lord says, put it in a baggie and put it in your Bible. So if you hold the baggie up, it looks like it could be, I mean, I really don't know what marijuana really looks like, but it looked like a bag of drugs stuck in my Bible, and I got through customs with it. But I had to go beyond customs, because what the Lord said when I was flying over there, you're going to go to the Pearl River and pour it into the Pearl River. I wasn't planning on going in the mainland at all. But he said, you're going to go into the mainland, and you're going to pour that in the Pearl River. Well, I was all shook up. China, you know, a lot of people, when they think of China, they get scared, and they really don't know about China. But I've been in a lot of the provinces, and I feel totally safe. In fact, I would just have to tell you that if there's a country to go to that you think is the worst country to go to, it's the best country you can go to, because if anybody lays one finger on you, that government will kill whoever touched you. As an American, they will thrash them, they will kill them. So I mean, it's like you are treated respectfully, and I learned to be treated even better respectfully, because the first time I went across the border, I must have had 6 men following me around. My room was being bugged in the hotel. I mean, they were watching me, taking turns tagging. When I went up to Beijing, they were the restaurant I ate in. They had the table bugged to hear what I had to say. Seriously, I'm telling you the truth. Don and I would pull all over the room to look, and our room would be bugged to hear what we had to say. People would call me. My husband called me while I was in Tibet. And you could hear them in the background. They were recording and listening to our conversation. And Henry's trying to tell me, there's somebody going to meet you. That's an underground church. You know, he's trying to tell me, Daddy has somebody he wants me to meet. You know, we got this code. We're trying to, and I did get to meet him, and it was all okay. But they had to go in and sweep the restaurant to make sure there were no bugs. Because that's what they did. And they probably still do it. So they had their finger on my life from the first time I went into mainland China. They had my number. They had my number. Every time I went in, whatever I did, they were there watching me. Until one day I was in Tiananmen Square. And I took a team. I said, we need to go there and pray. God wants me to go there and pray. I mean, I went to some different holidays of what happened at the Tiananmen Square massacre. I ended up with 3 newspaper and television interviewers that went over with me, because I'm supposed to be going and doing all this stuff. And when they showed up there with their little cameras and whatever their stuff was, I remember it terrified me. I'm trying to remember if Debbie was with me on that one. And her daughter came and met us, and I was so mad I couldn't see straight. I went to the president of GLO. I mean, I knew her before she became president. I prophesied she'd be the next president. I said, why did you invite these people? If this gets in the news, I'll never get to come to China again. Do you understand that? I can't take them with me. Anything I do, they go back to Hong Kong and say what they saw. I will never get to do it again. They said, give them a chance. Trust them. So they rented a big bus for me. And how many? I think there was maybe, I'm trying to remember how many of us there were. There was 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 or 11 of us. So somebody paid for a van to take me around where I had to go. And I remember going to the back of that van one at a time with all those news. I think one was a telephone or a news commentator on TV, and the other two were, they wrote in the papers, 2 different papers there in Hong Kong. And I remember I went back and talked to them and asked them why they were there. How did they find out? What did they want? What did they expect? And then I said, you cannot mention my name. You cannot say what we're going to do when we go up on the wall, because God's called me to go up on the wall and do a prophetic act. You cannot tell anybody. You got to promise me. You can go with me, but you cannot do anything, say anything, don't bring any attention to yourself. I mean, my husband told me before I left, because I was like, how am I going to do the things that God is asking me to do? And he goes, Nancy, when you go up on the wall, there's going to be a distraction. The Lord said to tell you, there'll be a distraction. You'll have about a 5-minute time slot there to do what God has asked you to do. God will hold them up at the top of the wall where they're walking to the other end, and you will have those. I had it. It happened. It was the most amazing place where it happened. And I got to do what God wanted me to do. And if you want to know, China has changed. China has changed. I took a team on a train from Hong Kong all the way up to Beijing. All the way up to Beijing, I took a team. And we got two cars in that train. One of the cars, it's a 27-hour train ride. And one of the cars was used strictly for prayer. I always had two in there praying all the time. And I set up a schedule where two would come in, they'd do 2 hours. But in the second hour, the other two would come in, they would do 2 hours, they'd spend that 2 hours, or that 1 hour, and then they'd go into their 2 hour, the other one. And the other room was strictly for sleeping and eating. I never slept a moment in those 27 hours. I was in and out of that room to make sure what was going on. I had the hard copy of what we were supposed to pray. I had the hard copy that God asked me to burn. I said, burn the word? This is not you. He said, burn it and put oil in it, consecrated oil in it, and put it in a container because you're going to pour it out on either side of the wall for healing and deliverance because there was horrid things that happened to build that wall. Horrid things, men of fathers, uncles, sons, cousins, all the men were pulled out of off the farms, and they were called. The leader was crazy. He was crazy and fearful of the demons that were coming from different places, and they were putting this boundary and this wall. You can see, by the way, in the space when they're taking pictures of the earth, you can see the Great Wall of China. It's powerful. But what he did was he pulled those laborers out of their farms and their ranches and their whatever, put them on the wall, work them till they're starved to death, and then he had them killed and put in the wall for extra mortar. True story. You meet some Chinese that lived there during that time and after that time, not that time, but what happened with the, the massacre? What was the massacre? Nanjing Massacre. Okay, if you talk to them about it, they remember what happened when the men were no more because they didn't come home. Where did they go? Well, they're in the wall. And so God gave me a vision of it before I even knew anything. I tried everything to find out. Lord, you showed me this. Is this true? Did this really happen? And I went to the library there down in Kenai, and I started looking. And of course, they kept it a secret. It's all now coming out now. But at the time that God was doing this with me back in, 1997, 99? Something? No, 1999 maybe. I can't remember, but it was earlier, around that period, 97 on. But I just remember that I found pictures of women weeping with their hands on the Great Wall saying, our men are no more. And I realized, it was God that told me that. So I know when God says to go do something, I'm going to do it. But this particular day, here I have, I landed at the airport. This is the first time. This was the first assignment I had. I had that baggie of stupid stuff, and I said, I know you have a lot of work for me to do, but can I get to the Pearl River? Can I have something I have to do for the Lord? It's a prophetic obedience. And they said, yes. We got a visa. Well, actually, I was trying to get a visa. They took me over to Macau, and you just go right over the border there. You come from China, you take a boat over to Macau, and now it's part, when I was going over there, handover hadn't happened, so Macau was Portugal. And so we got there, and I'm in this, in the immigration, trying to get a passport there in Macau, and, you know, they're just Mickey Mouse around with me. And pretty soon this cleaning lady's out there with a swab just going back and forth and moving around. And she starts talking to me. She speaks good English. And she says, you know, why are you here? And I said, I just want to go over and see the country. I just want to go to the Pearl River. I think that God wants me to come here and pray. She just goes, okay. She walks over. She said, give me the paperwork. Stamp. Here's your visa. I mean, I could have messed that up. Blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? I could have messed that up. If she was a different person, it might have. But anyway, but I did have people on me. I did. They were watching me. And so here I've got this baggie. And the Lord says I'm supposed to put it in the Pearl River. The Pearl River pours in part of the ocean. The part of it comes down into another one. And here's the ocean. And the ocean is the most filthy thing you've ever seen in your life. I mean, they don't have any laws on pollution, or they just dump their garbage, and there's diapers floating, there's clothes floating, there's boots and shoes floating. And I mean, it's muddy, it's dirty, it looks like poo-poo water. Yeah, see, it rubbed off on me. It's ugly, it smells. And I remember they had this great cement wall for miles and a walkway with trees. It actually was kind of pretty. But why are you going to come down here and look at this icky water that you can't swim in? There's so much acid in the water, you're not even allowed to go swimming. True story, okay? So meanwhile, they've got every little bit, they got the little hangout that goes out, and there would be couples or there'd be a man or a woman, they just staring at the water, okay? And I need to put this stuff in the water. This is what God wants me to do. I want to get it over with. I want to get back over into Hong Kong where I'm safe. And I'll tell you, when we were on the way there in the taxi and we drove for a while, he locked the doors. So we couldn't unlock the doors to get out. And I started figuring out, you know, didn't I read where they take people and they just, you know, take your heart out and your kidneys out, and they just leave you in a bathtub full of ice. I had all kinds of vision going on in my head, and it was like, I said, could you please stop this car? No, I won't stop the car. I said, stop the car now and let us out, now. And he goes, okay, but you know what? You gave me X amount of money, and I'm not going to hang out here. I'm not going to give you a ride back. You're going to be stuck out here. I said, I'll find another taxi. Let me out of this car, because you're not going to lock me in this car. What right did he have to do that, right? And the woman that was riding in the front seat, my translator, she was like, I like that, you know? And, you know, I'll tell you, God was with me. We got out of that car. He spun around. He was mad. And we found a taxi after that and got back safe. But I'll tell you what happened. I hope you believe me, because it's the truth. So I go down, and I'm looking over the wall, and I'm watching this guy, and there are these god-awful creatures running around on the wall, and they look like between a scorpion and a silverfish or whatever, but they're about that big, and they're just going all over. And, you know, I was such a chicken then. I'm a lot better now. But I'll tell you what, I just could see one of those getting in my skin, and I'd never live. You know, I just didn't want near them. I mean, they just were awful, and they're running all over the walls. I mean, there was something I'd never seen in my life. I didn't want them near me, but that's where I had to go to do what God asked me to do. I said, God, you got to give me courage, because that's scaring me. I don't like creepy, crawly things. And, you know, that's why I live in Alaska, okay? Somebody asked me, why do you live in Alaska? Because there's no snakes. So anyway, finally, it was like, time is running out. I need to do it. And I finally went out. I went down some steps. I hung off the steps like this. I had the baggie. I opened it, and I reached as far as I could, and I just started shaking that stuff, grabbed the baggie, put it back in my pocket, stepped back, thought, okay, it's done. It's done. It's done. Now, remember what God had me do. Dry it out. Have you ever seen a rose die? No matter what color it is, what does it turn to? What? Black, right? So that's all crushed up with everything. It's all crushed up, dried up, and I mean, it does. It looks like a bag of herbs or whatever. And I emptied it out, put it in my pocket, and man, I'm just getting up that step, getting out of there. I just want to wipe myself off. You know, I don't know if anything got on me. And I mean, I'm so distracted. I'm trying to be so spiritual. And all of a sudden, I mean, I'm walking away. And the Lord says, Nancy, you're going to miss it. Turn around. And I turned around and I looked. And what you could see, just a little bit off the shore, off where for the, there's no land, okay? It's just the water because it's just the ocean is there, butted up against this wall. And I looked, and it was like the water where I had dumped it had kind of moved those herbs out a little bit, and the water was just kind of bubbling, And it just got getting wider and wider, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 these full red petals began to pop up out of the water and start floating out. I mean, the women that were with me, they were blown away. Those, you know what I'm saying? Those petals were dead and black and crushed up, but they're full red. And where they were, the water turned so crystal blue as it kept spreading and spreading and spreading. Now, I don't fully have the understanding of what I was doing, but I'll tell you what, I know God knows why I did that, and I was obedient to do that. And then we went on the train. There's many, many times I've been there. I was on the plane when they had that horrible earthquake in Chengdu. I was on a plane headed up to Xi'an, I think, or was it Xi'an? Where the terracotta soldiers are buried underground or whatever. Anyway, I was headed up there, and everybody on the planes all of a sudden standing up. Everybody's on their phone, and they can all stand up because they're all shorter than me. And they're all standing, and they're all... And I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? And Uta, were you with me on that one? Am I telling the truth? I mean, it was like we went to a tarmac and sat, and they said there was an earthquake and whatever. And by the grace of God, we land at the airport. We're planning on staying in this hotel, right? But here's this pastor with a lot of pastors, met us, total strangers. But we'd been ministering, and what was the place we'd been ministering over there on the coast of Hong Kong or below Beijing? No, over further. What was that place? Not Singapore. Shanghai. And we'd been ministering there, and the people there called this pastor that was up in this their area and said, these ladies are coming up, they need to grab them up. Well, there's the earthquake, but they waded through the earthquake. They were headed to the airport. They brought several cars because they didn't know how much luggage we were going to have because there was about five or six or seven of us. And when we got there, this pastor goes, I'm here to take care of you. Took us to the hotel, and they had, and she can tell you this happened. We got into the hotel, and they had cleared out a suite, everything out of the suite, so all these people could come in and get prayer. And I mean, it's hot. It's hotter than Hades, right? We got a big window, right? But whenever I spoke or she danced, there was a breeze. Remember, to keep me, God took care of me. I'm telling you, he took care of me. Those people, I mean, they would come in there and they'd be in pain and head, eyes, shoulders. We'd pray for them and they'd get healed. They were getting healed. I mean, they had the faith to believe. The soldier or the police are out there. They know what's going on in the hotel. They just let them come in. They didn't mess with me at all. And then it was like the day before we were going to leave, I just said, you know, I got a problem here. Let me voice my problem. You've got this horrible thing going on over there in Chengdu. A lot of parents have died. A lot of kids have died. And this is an opportunity. You could be over there ministering to them. You wouldn't have to use the Bible to beat over their head. Just acts of kindness would make the difference. And the lead pastor looks at me and he goes, Nancy, you need to understand something. Do you remember this? He goes, we're in a culture where we have to be told what to do. I went, really? And I'll tell you, this is where I realized and accepted my call. Before that, I played with it. Before that, everybody else wanted to say, this is what it is. But me, I was shy of it. I'm a woman, and I knew that there was conflict. Some of the words came back to me, and it was hurtful. And so I was very, very careful. I didn't even talk to myself about it. I know God did it personally, but I still didn't walk in it yet. And I remember I was standing there, and I went, well, you need somebody with authority to tell you what you need to do? Well, I'm an apostle, and I'm asking you to go to Chengdu and minister to those people, acts of kindness and love. Don't even mention the Bible unless it's in a safe place and you know what you're doing. And he goes, let me go. I'm going to go pray. This the lead leader. He goes off. We still minister another couple hours, don't we? And he comes back. His eyes, he's been bawling his head off. He come back. He told everybody, you need to go to Chengdu like she said. And I said, what about you? God told me I had to stay here. Make sure you get on that plane tomorrow and then I can go. So the next year, did you go back with me the next year? I can't remember. The next year, I got invited back. Guess what? They did not put me in a suite in that hotel. They gave me the conference room. I'll tell you, the conference room was all the way to the wall with pastors, underground Christian pastors from all over China came in. And I mean, some of them would come one night and others, I mean, they're just constantly moving. Do you know that the Chinese government knew that was going on and just stepped back? I had no idea how serious this was until later when I got the phone call one day. Nancy Haney, this is the Minister of Religious Affairs, China. And we have chosen you to come in and do a women's Christian conference in mainland China. You'll be the first since the Boxers Rebellion to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They invited an Asian man to do the men's group, and I came in alongside and did the women's group. It is, and today, who knows about that? Just these groups like this. You know, my local town, if they knew it, they would want to come out to my house. In fact, I did get a phone call one time about, we heard you're doing a lot of work in mainland China. Can we come out and interview you? And I said, no. And the reason is I wanted to be able to keep going there. I didn't want something to come out that the enemy could use because it wasn't about me, it's about him. And I'll tell you what a blessing. I could talk about all kinds of blessings, but I won't. But I did find out the main reason that they chose me. Well, they said they'd been watching me. I knew they were. They said, you behave yourself. That's why we chose you. You behave yourself. And then the next year, after I did that and went back the next year, because they allowed me and Sarah, I got to be the first one to be a speaker at a conference in Noel's Ark that they built. Then 2 weeks later, they invited Sarah and I back to be among the guest people to come in for this big fanfare that the Full Gospel did, and we were the guest of honor because Noel's Ark is there. Because God had put it on my heart back in 1999, that there would be something of that manner built, and the man that we stay with, he would be responsible for it coming into fruition. And it happened. It happened. Amen? It happened. And it took a couple of years and a lot of stuff with after the handover and bad things happening, Disneyland messing up, and they didn't prepare for all the people that come in from China to go to Disneyland. They built a small Disneyland over there. The Chinese were going over the wall because they shut the doors. They couldn't have any more in. There was a protest and riots, and it was embarrassing, and you never heard one word about it in America because Chinese are very, very private. And when it was over, one of the things they did is they went to this man, this company that my friend works for, who is the one that builds the tallest buildings in Hong Kong. When you look at pictures of Hong Kong and you see those tall buildings, that's the man that my friend works for. And they went to him and said, that property you're interested in, we're willing to negotiate and sell it under one condition. You build some kind of site that would be different than Disneyland that people might be interested in. Well, what would that be? Noel's Ark. To scale. And there's a lot about that. But I want to tell you something. I didn't get to this place without cost. If you want to be a part of God's kingdom and do the work of God, it's going to cost. And it wasn't like I scrambled and crawled, and I don't believe I'm a controlling person. I know that there's things that I have to say. I don't like to say them. I don't like conflict. I don't like conflict. But to be the leader that I am and to have the friends that I have, it's totally a God thing. It's totally a God thing to have the church that I get to be a part of, that they've got a part-time pastor in there, an apostle in their house. And they're patient with it, and they love me in it, and they're going with me in it. Even though they can't go with me, they're with me, and I try to keep them in the queue of what's going on and where we're going and what we're doing, because God promised me, you finish this course, Nancy. See, it's not just building up the storehouse that God has asked me to do, and I have still a little over 5 years to get it done. He said, it's not just building up the storehouse. He said, I've asked you to go to every capital in the world and do what I had you do in every capital of America. And we've been to 70 countries, 70 capitals, and gone and did what God said to do. And every capital that we've ever been to, whether it's in America or it's anywhere else, there's always a manifestation after we're done and we leave. Whether it's weather or an upset in their government, whatever it is, exposing the dirty diapers. He said, I will start exposing dirty diapers. Why? Well, I'll give you a little hint of one of the things about going to these countries is that the Lord has removed his glory. And you know it. Evil is rampant, and it rolls and it rules. And so God says, go to the capital, go stand on their step and repent. And he's given us a list of what we're to repent. And whatever else, if in particular God makes sure I get the information, that's what we do. There's prophetic acts we do when we're, sometimes it's really difficult to do them because every eye is on you, every camera's on you. You've got to be a little bit clever. And there's times when you're not even allowed to be near the Capitol and they say, come on, you can come on in. I mean, it's amazing. And you know it's only God, and it's these prayers, the prayers that cover us. We're giving that glory to them, that we get to do what we can do. We're just two simple women. Well, I'm simple. She's a little better. Anyway, these cards here, Sarah's pointing them out to me. These cards here are the prayers that we pray over those capitals. This side is Matthew 23, 2 through 33. And what it is the 21 hypocritical sins we Christians walk in. Hypocritical sins. The other side, and this is the most important part, this is 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5, and this is the sin that when Jesus returns in the last days, we would all be involved in these or have been involved in these sins and probably have not repented for them, and they're very basic, and it'll just blow your mind if you haven't seen one. And I'm telling you, God says you need to repent. And I'm going to have Sarah make sure you guys all get one of those. Do it on your home. Do it in your church. Go to your mayor's office. Amen. I've been in and out of every time I go to try to go through down to Ketchikan, I want to go to the Capitol in Juneau. Because God, one day he told me, he said, from now on, this is what I've done with you. I've made you a spiritual antibiotic. And I said, Lord, what do you mean? I don't understand that. He said, when you touch the door of any capital from now on, every capital that you've already prayed for is going to be like a body. And what you pray at this capital is going to go to every capital while you're praying. It's a body. Amen? What I say in Alaska is said in all the United States capitals. Whatever he asks me to prophesy, whatever he asks me to repent for, it goes to every capital in America. And if you don't believe me, you look at our athletes, you look at our politicians, you look at our pastors, they're getting their diapers changed. And they're stinky. Amen? So do you want to do that? And help her? You guys can take those. And you'll see some emblems on them, like a red ribbon. The red ribbon represents red for the blood of Jesus, but they're trimmed in gold. And God said, that's because when you go and you repent, what you're doing is what it says in Ezekiel about how the Lord removed his glory. He took his glory out of the Holy of Holies, the temple, and went on the eastern mountain to wait till they got their act together. Well, God said, I've been waiting on the eastern mountain of all these capitals that you're going to be going to. And when you go and you stand in front of them, it took a while for me to understand everything he was saying. He said, when you go stand on those steps and you repent, he says, what I do is I bring my glory right down on top of the president or the prime minister or, for the United States, our governors of every capital. And I know this sounds massive, but that's what we've been doing for how many years, Sarah? This is what we've been doing. And it's because God said so. God, do you think God's preparing something? And he's given all these countries another chance. We've done all of Europe. We've done all of Europe. We've done several of the Asian countries. We did the Scandinavian countries. We've been to Russia. We've been to South Korea. We've been on the border of North Korea and prayed. He gave me an awesome word there. He said, there'll be a day. There will not be a North Korea. It will be Korea. So watch, because things are happening. That was an amazing word. The man that was with me, he just couldn't believe it. Not when we went, not what was going on, but something's happening. God will not negate or void what we have done. Amen? He's got his glory. And it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we take the word and he lights our path and we go into dark places and it's not dark. Okay? So I know this might sound a little more than you want to handle, but if you're going to sow into us, I want you to know what we're doing. And we're not anything special except for, you know, he just hovered and he hovered and he just hovered until he found somebody that said yes. I don't know how many he asked before me. And I don't know how many are doing similar things like I'm doing. I don't. All I know is I need to be obedient, and as long as my husband's okay with it, we're going to continue. Amen? And Sarah's husband. Amen? So that's kind of what a little bit of what's going on. I hope that gives you a little bit of an idea. But that the other part is building up the storehouse. And what the Lord did is he came to me on September 13th, 2015, which is the eve of New Year's for Israel. And that's when he always comes to me and gives me the word for the next year. All those words that you've heard every year in our theme for our conferences is what God placed on my heart. So this is what you'll do. So he comes and visits me. I'm in Ketchikan with Debbie Andres. Where's Debbie? Debbie and I had been out that day. I don't remember where we did, if we did a little meeting or whatever. We got back 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening, and I walked into the bedroom that I stay in, which is upstairs, and the Lord, I didn't get the light on. And the Lord says, kick off your shoes, Nancy. You're standing on holy ground. I laughed. I kicked my shoes off, like that. And you got to hear this because the promise in it's for you. But I kicked my shoes off and I went, okay, what's going on? Where's the burning bush? And he said, Nancy, this isn't about Moses. It's more like Joshua. And he dropped these sandals in front of me. They were ancient, ancient sandals. I got online to try to see if I could find a pair like those. And I'll tell you, when he dropped them in front of me, I got scared. I got very reverent. And I said, Lord, what's going on? And he said, I'm about to tell you some things, and I need you to listen. I said, okay. He said, the word for 2016, because it's 2015, he said, the word for 2016 will start on January 1st. And he said, the first thing is 2016 is God's redemptive love. He said, I want you to take the word, establish, and begin to just expose to everybody about God's love. Always have my love in your teachings. Always. He said, be established in my word. And I'll tell you, if you're struggling in anything spiritually, if you will go to Psalms 119, the whole chapter, you will find beautiful things to help you, to help your memory, to enlarge your heart. I mean, awesome things, but he wants you to get established. Even the word established is in Psalms 119. Amen? Then he said, and then I want you to talk about the sure peg. I said, the sure peg? Ezra, chapter 9. Talk about Ezra. And some of you have already heard this, but it's about Ezra suddenly finding out that he's gone back. He's been heartbroken because the walls and doors and stuff have been broken down with Israel, and he can't get anybody to help him. He's been there for several months, can't get any help. And then he finds out the Levites, the priests, they've intermarried. They're spread out all over. And he tore his clothes, and he fasted all day. He wept and cried, and then he got up, and he repented. He said, forgive us for what we have done. He wasn't even there. He had been in Babylon, part of the bondage in Babylon for 70 years. But he's, that was when I realized I can't say, God forgive them for what they've done. Because 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, my people called by my name, I'm his people, need to seek my face. They need to humble themselves and repent and seek my face and pray. And he says, I will hear and I will forgive and I will heal your land. But see, we want to say, look what they did, I'm going to repent for them. And God says, you're part of it. We're part of what's going on in our country because we have a voice. We can pray. We can get right into it in that prayer closet. Amen? And you have a voice, and your voice counts. Your voice truly counts. And so, and then I'm trying to remember if I'm getting them all. So it's 2020, then the word established, then the word peg. And he said, this next one you're going to have a hard time with, Nancy, but I know you can do it. I said, okay. He said, you have 7 years. You're going to tell them they have 7 years to build up the storehouse. I said, build up the storehouse with what? Is this a Joseph thing? And he goes, no. I said, well, what is this? He said, Nancy, build up the storehouse with souls. Not one be lost. You have 7 years. Well, what's going to happen after 7 years? Wouldn't that be your question? He said, it's not for you to know right now. Just do what I ask. But this is what I promise. This is what I promise. And we're going to do a skit here in a minute and help you with this. But he said, everyone that believes you, that you've heard from me, and believes that they can help build up the storehouse and breathe the souls in, he said, I will pour favor upon them. And he has. He has many people will come back and tell me that God has poured so much favor on them. He said, you tell them, I will pour favor out on them. And then he said, another thing. I will give you a hint. I won't leave you out there hanging. How are you going to build the storehouse? So I want to have you come up. Will you be a volunteer? Come on up. Yeah. And you, come on up. I need you, the blonde here. Come on up. Casey, why don't you come on up? And let's see, I need one more. No, Kim, come on up. Don't be pointing me around. Just stand right here, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Now, you have an assignment. And I'm going to give you that assignment, okay? So I'm just going to have to figure out who's who. Okay. So you're 1, 2, 3, 4. You are acts of kindness. You are the seed of the word. You are the cultivator and water of the word, and you're the harvester. Okay? So who are you?
Acts of kindness.
Who are you?
Seed of the word.
Who are you?
Cultivator and water.
Steal my gift.
And this one is the harvester. Okay? Now, you guys live in a big subdivision, okay? At the end of the subdivision, there might be a hotel or something that has a giant elevator, and that's where you live, is at the top, okay? And what's going to happen is a new gal is going to come in your community, and she is raw, okay? When she walks up here, you'll know what I mean. And you are going to have a little bit of a short time to demonstrate acts of kindness without saying anything about God, Bible, nothing religious, okay? Be creative. You are going to have the seed because she is going to do something really, really nice and maybe even invite her for lunch or something like that. And this misfit's going to come to you and you're going to welcome her in the neighborhood. And she's going to mention this kind of fruity person was really sweet. And you're going to put a seed of it's probably because of the Lord, you know, just something, a seed to make her think. You're going to be the water and cultivator because the kindness has broken the ground up a little bit, and this one got to dry a little tiny seed, and that seed can't really grow in that hard ground unless you come and water and cultivate it. So you get to say a little bit about God and set her up, because she's going to run into her on the elevator at the top floor, and she's going to have her on her knees asking Jesus into her heart, because she's a harvester and nothing's going to stop her. Amen? Okay.
Hi, my name is Peggy Ann. You can call me Peggy Ann for short, like Pagan.
Pagan?
Nickname. Okay. Heathen's my last name.
Okay. Pagan Heathen?
Yeah, that's my name.
I'm Janet Beyer.
Oh, Janet Beyer.
Are you new to the neighborhood?
Well, I am, and you're like the first person I met.
Oh, really?
Really.
So, in our neighborhood, we like to have people and just invite them to the neighborhood, bring them cookies or have dinner or get to know you. And are you married?
No. I don't tell the neighborhood, but like, what should I say? Let's just say I ditched the last one.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
Well, I was just going to say, if you have any kids, if you need any help, I'm.
Oh, I got kids.
I'm a grandma.
I got lots of kids.
I love to be grandma.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm called Grandma Janet.
I think that they would probably love that because they don't, put it this way, they don't have the same grandma. Don't let that get around the neighborhood either.
No, I won't.
Nice to meet you.
It was nice to meet you.
Grandma.
Hi, Peggy. How are you doing?
Peggy Ann. I'm doing well.
Good.
Oh, Sarah.
Regina?
Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. I'll be right back. You can have that because I feel a little lighter.
Nice.
I just met this lady, Janet, Grandma Janet.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma Janet. That's got kind of a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
It does.
Anyway.
She's a sweetheart.
Oh, you know her?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How do you know her?
Well, I've been in the neighborhood for a long time, and so is she.
Oh. Do you guys talk much?
A little bit, sure.
Okay, well, I hope my name doesn't come up.
Well, why not?
Well, don't say anything, but I don't have the best track record. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
You do?
I do. I think you
should... Have you been talking to Janet?
No.
Oh.
No. Sometimes I can just sense things, and she's a sweetheart, and I don't think she'd say anything, and I know I wouldn't, and I think maybe God's leading you to the right two people in the neighborhood to welcome you here.
Well, that's cool.
I
think I'm going to like this neighborhood. I didn't know God lived in the neighborhood, but.
Yes, you will.
Nice to meet you.
Too.
Give her a chain.
Here. Yeah, I am like just.
Glad I could lighten your day.
Yeah.
Hey, Peg Ann. I've seen you around the neighborhood.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah, I walk through the neighborhood all the time with my little dog. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think I've seen you too. Yeah, like, you walk like a mile. Like.
Yeah, exactly. You got the same hair. Yeah. Dog and I, that is.
Oh. I thought you meant you and I.
No.
Like, we don't have the same hair.
So how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing good. I just met like Grandma Janet and
Janet Beyer.
Regina. Yes.
Oh, cool.
You know her?
Yeah, I do. I've known her a long time.
Well, how do you know her?
Well, actually, we go to church together. Yeah, we go to the same church. And
does Regina go there too?
Actually, Regina does go there too. Yes. Uh-huh.
Is that the family like you she's talking about, like get together?
Well, actually, you know, we're all family, right? In our neighborhood, we consider each other family.
Like same parents?
No, not exactly. not
the
same
parents. Because
there's
a big, well, never mind.
Well, we just call each other family. We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord.
Is God, Lord?
Yes, God is Lord. He's our Lord. Yeah.
Okay, God is Lord, mm-hmm. or they're the same, they're different,
Lord
they're what?
Lord is God. Well, they're three in one. Oh, man, I'm really big.
Hey, you know what? This sounds like my kids. They got, well, like, lots of daddies and one mommy. I fit right in. What's your dog's name?
My dog's name is Ginger, like my hair, Ginger.
Take you a while to think of that. You know
not
what?
Not at all.
I think I might kind of like this neighborhood.
I think you will. I know
you
will.
I don't have
will.
A dog, but you can walk my kids.
Hey, let's walk together. We like to walk together in this neighborhood.
All right.
Arm in arm. I'm just kidding.
I think you're kind of funny. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Peggy.
These guys. Hi. I've been visiting my neighbors, and they're like wearing me out. And we haven't even gone for a walk yet.
Oh, I am so glad to meet you. I am just so glad that you're here. It's such a pleasure just to see you.
Why, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. First time, I know. But
well, tell me, who did you meet today?
Well, I met Grandma Janet,
okay.
Regina, and Ginger.
Okay.
No, Ginger's the dog. Sorry. She got me all confused. Their hair's alike. Their walks alike. Their laughs alike. I don't know. They dress alike.
You're on the 30th floor. Hurry.
Did they say kind of the same thing to you? Did anybody encourage you?
Yeah, you know, maybe I could ask you.
Okay.
Yes, they did encourage me, but they're talking God, Lord, three in one, all the same, but different.
Mm-hmm.
Family, church, get together. They didn't say party, but kind of sounds like a party. That's my interpretation. Yeah, what's up with that? Could you explain that?
I can, yeah. I think that the Lord has brought you here to this neighborhood.
Well, okay, maybe, but she said God brought me here.
Yeah, that's the same thing. The Lord is our God. He is your Father who knows you and has known you and wants to have your heart, wants to give you all the things that you have ever desired to make you whole. He has already done that for you, and he wants to show it to you. He wants you. He wants to build you up and give you life abundantly. That's who he is, and he's all our fathers. He is all of us.
Stop. Let me say this. Those three wore me out, and you're wearing me out. You're just going to have to show me how to do it.
Oh, it's so easy. There's nothing to do. All you have to do is to say, I need you, Father. I need you, Christ. I need you, Lord, to be Lord of my life. And all of the things that you have ever desired and seen in these other people, the peace, the happiness, the things that are there for you will come immediately.
Okay, but what about all the things I've ever done?
They're already forgiven. They're already taken care of.
Count me in.
Yes, and can I get rid of this and break this and throw it away?
Yes.
So
good job.
Okay, man.
Peggy! Hey!
What are you doing?
Well, I just moved into this neighborhood, and oh my gosh, it's like Grandma lives here. And
Grandma
Regina.
Who?
Grandma Janet.
Grandma.
She's going to watch, you know, my 12 kids. I didn't tell her I had 12.
But you already got a babysitter?
I do.
Man, are you ready to go party with me?
No, I'm not. You know what? You are not going to believe this. I know you're not going to believe this. You, of all people, are not going to believe this, but I'm just going to tell you how it is. I met Jesus, got Christ. I met Lord. I met God. I got a huge family. I got a grandma. I got neighbors. I got someone to walk with. And she got a dog. And, like...
Count
that's
me
all.
In. I want to come to your party.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Okay. That was fun, but I want you to see that it really isn't that hard to sell somebody about Jesus. It isn't that hard to be part of the kindness. because your kindness actually breaks the ground up a little bit, okay? And then the one that comes to seed, you might be the one that gets to seed them with something about God that makes them hungry, makes them curious. They want to know a little bit more about it. You may be the same one that gets to water and cultivate them and say, hey, let's go to lunch, and you just happen to take a little flyer with you or a track and said, let me show you something I believe. Let me tell you something. And then you may be the one that says, do you think it's time to make Jesus your personal Savior? But see, you don't have to do them all, because you can be part of all four, or you are the four. Amen? But the bottom line is this: that soul, whether you were the acts of kindness or you were the harvester or all of the in-between, it is accounted to you. It's not going to be hard to build the storehouse up. Amen? You don't know who, when you go through the line and you are so kind to that cashier, so kind to him, that the next thing you know, the next person that comes along can do something more. I used to have little old ladies that come to Nordstrom. I used to work for Nordstrom. I was a manager, one of the department managers, and there are these little old ladies that would come. They didn't come to buy anything. They were lonesome. They didn't have a friend in the world. Their husband would drop them off at the store, and they'd just kind of wander around just looking for somebody to say, hey, hi. And so what I started doing when I'd see them, I'd work my break around so I could go have a cup of coffee with them. I loved it. I was a sucker for little old ladies. I'm going to be one. I hope people are a sucker for me. You know what I mean? But I'll tell you what, that was those acts of kindness toward me with those little ladies and me with them. I mean, it was relationships, long-lasting relations. Most of them have passed. Most of them have. But I'm going to tell you what, you asked Henry, didn't I do that, Henry? I mean, somebody lived down in Homer, and the husband had a lot of errands to run, just drop his wife off at the mall there in Kenai. And they would just wander in there, and I got to see they were regular once a week. Here they would come. I made my lunchtime that time, or I took my break at that time. Those acts of kindness. I was a Christian. And I'll tell you, being a Christian meant that love you just have for somebody, you just want to put them at ease. You want to do something for them. You want to have compassion for them. You know what I mean? That really is a test, by the way. God's going to test you. He's going to put somebody in front of you, and is your heart going to be warm toward them, or are you going to go, ew, I don't like the holes in their jeans? Stupid, isn't it? Though Sarah wanted to get some, and I said, you're not wearing those when we're traveling. Not with me, not on my watch. But seriously, it's a different story when you're ministering and reaching out and you're giving an image of God through your personality and what you're doing. Amen? And I want you to help accomplish what God is saying. I have gone into areas in Georgia, South Carolina, Ohio, whatever, and some of those pastors, they're embracing this. They started disciple classes in their church. They started doing evangelistic classes in their church so that their people could go out and start reaching out to people. Tom Smalley is one. I mean, he had, you know, Tom Smalley that came here? He had a little church in this side of the room on Sunday morning. It would be full, you know, three quarters full of people that he had reached out to the community and reaching out to lost, right? And teaching them how evangelism. And then at 11 o'clock, his regular church came in. I mean, they'd wait at the door because he would be teaching at 10, and they'd all be standing out there, the little old people standing there waiting. And I mean, they were like, and Tom said, you just watch. At 11 o'clock, they're going to, and there they are.